All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKB 34 on September the 16th. And we've got Rolando D getting out there with George Hilliard, and great getting to have George on the show for the first time. How are you doing there, man? You doing pretty solid?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, great getting to talk to you, man. Seems like a, you know, big one coming up here and everything like that. I saw you had a post talking about how you're, you know, readying to go to war and facing someone who's an ex-kickboxing champion and MMA champion as well. And, you know, how they call him the KO King and everything like that. Like, what was the first, I guess, onset of thoughts when this bout offer came your way? Was this a guy you were already familiar with, or did the familiarization kind of come more when you started kind of studying him a bit after, I guess?
No, I wasn't studying him at all. I think because after I was meant to fight the American boy on the BYB on the last show, what I ended up pulling out was a bad, I was torn a muscle in my back. And so I thought Jim and Joe were right. They're like, well, we're giving this fight now. This, you know, it's one of them. It's just, you got to take it or leave it, basically. You got to prove yourself. So, and here I am. I'm going to prove myself.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, spend too much time on it, obviously, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't briefly touch on it. Like you mentioned the back injury and not getting to fight Robert Serna there on that BYB 18 card there in June. I mean, it seems like the injury was something that you could like figure out in the meantime to kind of rehab though, which I guess is good. But just what was that whole, you know, experience like? Was it a kind of a bummer to not be able to fight on that sort of like crossover, like BKB versus BYB event? Would that have been like an important thing for you to be part of, something like that?
Yeah, totally, because, well, it ended up costing me thousands of pounds in the long run. So I ended up losing all my sponsorship deals, all ticket money that everyone bought, they had to go back, and then I thought, I have to go to the show to show my face, I have to, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, basically I was doing, we call it here the Ricky Atom Bar, and it's like where you jump over it. For like 1 minute, you have to do constant jumping. And as I was jumping over it, I landed funny, and I thought. And then my trainer said, "Look, I think you've got a slipped disc. Because there was a lump on my spine. So we went to the hospital, and they did an X-ray, and I didn't have a slipped disc. I torn a muscle. So, but I couldn't stand up. It's weird. I couldn't stand up or sit down. I had to like arch in like in an archway,
okay.
But stand up but lean on my knees for the pain to go. It was very, very weird. But thank God fingers crossed we're through the final bit of it now, and training for this next fight.
Yeah, it's a bummer to hear that like the ripple effect was like so pronounced though, like just in the sense of like losing all the sponsorships and stuff like that. But I guess it gives you a clean slate to kind of get some new people on board. I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at the silver lining, but that's just kind of, I don't know, that seems like a lot. It seems like there was a lot that kind of unfurled there in that, you know, story there, man. Was that like a bit deflating a little bit, or?
It ain't about, as silly as this may sound, it ain't about me. It's about what it does to my family. Like the knock-on effect it does. So, like, I ended up having about four weeks off work, and so I've lost a pay packet there, wages. Then, obviously, I didn't fight, so I've lost wages there in fighting. Then I had to pay all my sponsorship money back. So it costed me thousands and thousands of pounds. And, losing nearly £30,000 was a kick in the teeth. So it was a hard knock on effect for not just for me but for the family as well.
Yeah, for sure. We're on to bigger and better things now, though. But interesting kind of background you have here. Like it seems like you've been very experienced in the glove boxing space before kind of crossing over into bare knuckle. Like I was seeing in the bio there, you were trained by Jeff Mayweather, and I saw a throwback pick with Victor Ortiz, and like saw you had like 20 pro gloved boxing bouts per some of the aggregators out there. Like when did, I guess, the journey start kind of pivoting towards bare knuckle? Like when did that initially get on your radar as something to try out?
Well, I I had 30 professional fights altogether, winning 23, losing 7, winning the WBC Confederation, winning the British Masters, the IBA World Title. It was a one. Yeah, won numerous titles on that, but nothing major, though. But I lost my license for a change in my brain scan back in 2010. And then, obviously, I passed all my new medicals, but the British Boxing Board of Control wouldn't give me my license back because I had a problem with the main man. So I thought, then I'll see a friend doing the BKB. And I see a lot of professionals turning over to him. And I see Paulie Melanargy do it. So I thought, all these big stars are going over to this sport. And I thought, I've got to give this a go. And obviously I've got a good friend, Paul Hills, which you probably know. He fights for BKB, but he's boxed on the BYB shows quite a few times. And he said, look, listen, come over and try it. He went, George, went, they look after us, and he went, right, if you get in with the boys, he went, they'll look after you. So I tried it, obviously I've had two now, and both knockouts, and I'm enjoying it, thoroughly enjoying it, should we say.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes across for sure, but... Just, yeah, very interesting, because I saw in your BKB 29 post-fight interview, you were talking about, like, the pain in your hands, but how that came with, like, you know, but came in with, like, an acute awareness rather than it would be a different sport, like how you have to be switched on and, you know, can't cut corners and bare knuckle. Like, maybe there's some strikes in glove boxing where you can kind of, like, afford to give it away more than in bare knuckle, where, like, maybe a light flicking jab can create, like, a fight-ending cut. So, yeah, it seemed like you were already aware of that, like, right from the jump heading into it.
It's more so that my first fight when I boxed in Croatia, when he come out and he threw a three punch combination, I just thought, sorry to swear, I was like, shit. and I put my hands up and realised I ain't got no gloves, so you haven't got much protection. Like you can't block the shots on your hands, because even blocking it on your hands can do damage to your hands. So. I was like, I've got to get this job over and done with ASAP. And I threw a left hook to the body, and thank God he hit the canvas like a sack of potatoes.
That's interesting. So, like, what did you learn from that first experience that, well, I guess, was imparted in your second performance? Like, because you were talking about how, like, you obviously don't have a lot of the same defensive, you know, aspects as one would have in glove boxing. It's, like, a much tinier guard and stuff like that. Like, was there anything taken away from that first fight that you applied to the second one, where it's like, okay, I can, like, adapt my guard a little bit to be a little more defensively sound here, or just anything? Yeah,
totally. It's a good question as well. So what you learn is you talent means nothing in this game. Talent means nothing, because some of these men are real hard men. So with boxing gloves, man, you can hit and pamper them for like 12 rounds and win on points. But in BKB, you can't do that. So you get hit, even it might not be a heavy shot, but it's to the bone. And it either cuts you or you end up getting knocked out. And as weird as it sounds, it's actually safer than professional boxing with gloves on. Because you're either getting knocked out where your brain ain't taking punishment, or you get cut where the cut's that bad, the fight gets stopped. So your brain ain't taking as much punishment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the interesting things about bare knuckle, because, like, the empirical evidence that is out there very much does fit what you're talking about. Yeah, because I feel like certain people who maybe don't follow boxing in, like, that hardcore of a way, like, they don't realize, like, that the gloves are more to protect the hands, and that you can actually generate a lot more power and damage to the person.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's, even selling tickets for an event, like, I normally have a very, very big backing, like, a following, like, between 200 to 300 to 500 people, like, I sell tickets to. And telling them, because it's an older generation as well, and when I tell them that, oh, I'm doing this, they're like, what are you doing? So Jim and Joe, they both said to me, George, that following what you have, it will take a couple of fights for you to build a new following, because a lot of them won't understand. Coming over, they all think BKB is like underground stuff. They went, they don't realise the how fast his sport is growing and how safe it is. And the shows are better than professional boxing shows anyway. So it's so I'm happy to be on here, and I'm looking for a bright future for the next two, three years.
It's funny you say that. I actually just finished talking to Dan Chapman a bit before we started talking, and he was discussing like kind of a similar thing, just how there was that perception at one point, like almost like the sport is like a spectacle driven thing, like it's underground, it's this, that, and the other. But I feel like BKB has really just risen in a lot of regards, like more like the profile. Like I felt like BKB always had that good path and that foresight of where they were wanting to go, but just like the bigger venues now, seems like there's the bigger broadcasters and just a lot more discussion around like there being like certain fight IQ for it and stuff like that. So I guess just, you know, in saying all of that, can you speak to just what you've noticed in Bare Knuckle in that regard, just like the growth that has experienced with just really the company, but the sport overall in a sense?
Well, since I've been involved in it since my first fight in March, I had my first one in December, then I had my second one in March. The sport is that, and it's, on paper, it's the fastest growing sport out there. So that speaks for itself. But when you go to the shows, it's absolutely brilliant. It's brilliant. The people sit together. People think it's all part of like underground gangsters and all fucks that turn up to these shows, and it's nothing like that at all. You get a lot of celebrities there. You get a lot of you do get a lot of gangster people there, whatever you want to call them. But the events are absolutely fantastic. They're brilliant. So what Jim and Joe and even the BYB boys are doing, it's all fantastic. And it's only going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And just in kind of discussing that, like more, I guess, to your own career progression, like I was seeing an interview that was more like focused on gloved boxing years ago, and it was talking about achievements you'd like to have before retiring, and you were mentioning being a world champion as an express goal. Does the focus there get redirected to becoming a champion within BKB now? Like, is that like the ultimate capstone goal here, I suppose?
Yeah, I like to think that right now my loyalty is with Jim and Joe, because they've looked after me in the last two fights, and then even with the last show of me pulling out of my back, the stuff that went on prior to that, of me getting people over social media being keyboard warriors, and Jim and Joe like, listen, your health is more important to us than anything else. So it's like, go and get your back sorted out, and we'll go for the next show. So it went, it's an injury, George, in it. Went, and in this sport, you can't have an injury and still fight. You can't. So they were understanding and they supported me a billion percent on it. And then so now it speaks for itself. They put me on this show, and another hard fight was the ex MMA world champion, kickboxing world champion. And, as you say, they call him the KO King. So it's a chance for me to show just how good I am. And I will show just how good I am.
Yeah, for sure. And in talking about this next test here, like we mentioned, his background across a myriad of combat sports, really. But he does have, albeit a pretty brief bare-knuckle fight there. He fought on that BKFC Thailand 4 card and had a knockout like 42 seconds into the first round here per Tapology there, and did so last December. Like, I mean, not much to like really tape study off of per se, but was that a fight that you kind of checked out just because it was like bare knuckle specific experience your opponent had? Or
if I'm honest, I didn't see the bare knuckle. I ain't seen no bare knuckle. I only watched him in in the cage, in the MMA. So yeah, I ain't seen no bare knuckle. So, but if I'm totally honest, without sounding cocky or rude, all I have to worry about is myself. If I train hard and work hard and do everything correct, then that's enough. I haven't got to worry about anyone else. I've just got to worry about myself. So making sure I'm in the best physical shape, mentally and physically.
Yeah, I get that too, though, man. I mean, I feel like when I talk to fighters, and obviously there's nuance within this, but I feel like it can go one of two ways, where they're like very particular about the tape study, like check out everything the person's ever done. And then some people are like, I don't really want to get too caught up in, you know, what he's going to do, because I want to be adaptable and fluid in what I want to do.
Yes, that's me. I'd rather pay attention to myself and worry what I'm doing than sit there worrying about what everyone else is doing. Because then the game way comes away from me then. So if I can concentrate on myself, and then being the best possible me, and then I've got no excuses then.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess I'm kind of curious to get some insights on this, because I was checking out some previous info on like more what you'd done in gloved boxing, and it was talking about how you trained with, you know, Emmanuel Stewart at one point, got to do so in London for a bit, and he was saying that your style was almost like an amalgamation of like Ricky Hatton and a James Toney there and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering, like, in saying that, like, is like, how much do you have to, I guess, adapt your boxing game, like what you would do in gloved boxing that gave you success? Did you have to like really adapt that a great deal for bare knuckle? Like, I guess what adaptations to your game from gloved to bare knuckle boxing, like, were there, I guess?
Well, that's another good question, but I've got some good compliments from Emmanuel Stewart, even Jeff Mayweather, and I've mingled with some very, very, what, the best in the world. But with BKB, it's a different league. Like, as I said, especially after the first fight, and then obviously my second fight, I got caught in the first round with the first two punches, and they weren't nothing major, but it split me straight down the middle with my eye. So it's, once again, it's just, you can't, the best thing to do in this game is don't get hit.
Yeah.
And just don't get hit. It's just as simple as that. It's yeah, as much as everyone knows, I normally like to stand there, and I don't mind taking a punch. But with gloves on, you get a bruise, or maybe every now and then you get a cut. But in BKB, bare knuckle boxing, you get cut. It ain't nothing. It's just bone on bone, bone on skin, and you get, yeah, and the cuts ain't just little cuts. They're horrific. So, and that's the reason they get stopped for. So, yeah. But once again, I love the sport.
Yeah, I mean, that very much comes across for sure. It seems like it's been a fun journey for sure since the days of, you know, meeting Roy McDonald and getting involved and whatnot, eh?
Yeah, God bless him. Yeah, he's the man that found me, so... fucking hell, yeah. Yeah, he's the man that found me, God bless him. So he's, may him be looking down on me on the 16th of September, giving me all the strength.
Yeah, always great to show that reverence and respect to the people that, you know, came before and stuff like that. And it seems like you're paying things forward in a certain regard too. Like, I liked how you were using your, you know, platform to kind of just show your own story and to like inspire other people. Like, you were showing how, like, you're doing like a before and after. Like, you were showing on the left photo you were like more depressed and, you know, had no drive, and apparently you were the heaviest you'd ever been up until that point, and seemed like you were able to like really turn things around majorly. So can you kind of touch on that a little bit? Because I think that's very uplifting and inspirational to other people too, to see that.
When I lost my license in 2010/2011, it was, I didn't just lose my license. I lost everything. Like the mother of my kids. Like, I had all this money, next minute I had nothing. So I was losing everything around me, I was losing it all. So, and it was just, it was a hard thing to take. So all I did was find comfort in a bottle of Jack Daniels and Coke. So I was doing a bottle, maybe two bottles a day of Jack Daniels and Coke. And I remember, I'm not very big. I'm only 5'9". So going from 11 stone to like 16 and a half stone, I was a big man. So yeah, and it weren't good for my health. But then it was my oldest son that was like, obviously when the medical said that I had a minor stroke and things like that, and so I said to my son, don't ever give up in life. If you want something, you go out and you get it. And his words were to me was, then why did you give up, Dad? So, he said, why did you give up? So, and it's weird, because I looked at him for a split second thinking, I could punch you right in the face right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was telling the truth. And I just thought, do you know what, I've got to go do my medicals again. And when I'd done all my medicals, passed them all again, and then I thought, this is it, I want to trace my dream now. And that's when I ended up boxing for the WBC Confederation World title at York Hall in London against Manzo Smith. And this fight was, if it was televised, it would have gone down as one of the, well, it's been voted one of the best fights of the last decade. We just both stood, we didn't even, it was all about how big are your balls. It was nothing about talent. We put our talent to the side, we put our hearts and balls online, and we just stood there and smashed the granny out of each other for 12 rounds. And thank God I was victorious by three rounds. And I ended up winning that title. So, yeah. And it was, and then obviously turning over to the BKB. And it's different how we go down different routes. Things happen in life and it sends us down a different path. And yeah, but it's what I'm destined to do. So this is where my route is to go. And as I said, my loyalty now is with Jim and Joe for BKB.
Well, that's an incredible story, man, and it's awesome to see where you're at right now. I mean, great story just in terms of general wellness, but just, yeah, incredible where you're at now in, like, a new sport and unbeaten so far. So, yeah, I mean, just incredible for sure. I guess just one of the last things I kind of wanted to touch on too. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, go on, sorry, I'll keep interrupting you. Left that delay.
Oh, yeah, no worries. I was just going to say one of the last things I kind of wanted to touch on, I usually ask fighters about the nicknames. I'm very curious, and I'd seen you'd had a couple. I mean, you have Hit Hard now, but back in the day you were called The Grill. So I guess I'm curious to get the insights, like maybe the origins on, I guess, like both of those nicknames. Like, how did you go from...
I'll tell you. So, the Hit Hard was, it's because obviously my pro debut, live on Sky Sports, I signed with Matchroom Sport, Barry and Eddie Earns for Matchroom. And on live on Sky Sports, I was 6 seconds off of breaking Mike Tyson's record for the fastest ever knockout in a pro debut. I knocked my opponent out in 42 seconds, live on Sky Sports, as I said. And then obviously my next fight, I knocked him out in 1 minute 13. And then I knocked another one out in 13 seconds. Then I knocked another one out in 29 seconds. So the TV nicknamed me Hit Hard. So it stuck there. So next one, everyone was calling me Hit Hard Hill Yard. And that's how that come around. But The Grill, that's a different story. So we was in the gym. I was training with Tony Sims. Obviously everyone knows who Tony Sims is the great trainer of many champions, and obviously doing Anthony Joshua, Darren Barker. So he's one of the head trainers at Matchroom Sport. So we were training and we was in the gym, and Darren Barker was fighting this fella called, I think it was Danny Clark. And I said, Dad, you ain't going to believe this. He boxed George Foreman. And they was all pissing themselves laughing. Like, he ain't the only George Foreman in the world, you know. And so then Dan Chadwell just come out of there and went, flipping out, it's the grill. And it kind of stuck, so everyone was calling me like George the Grill, and everyone, that's how it all come out, because obviously there's me thinking it was George Foreman, and it wasn't George Foreman, so it was just a different George Foreman. So it was, that's how that come around, and that got stuck for a little bit.
Yeah, it's like in The Big Lebowski, how there's a different Jeff Lebowski, if that reference means anything.
Yeah, I've got so many, because by certain friends, some people call me Chicken George, and they call me Chicken George because I don't back down from nothing. So they go, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? I'm 11 stone, and they go, do you want to fight at 15 stone? And I'm like, yeah, I'll fight him. And they're like, so obviously they go, oh, he's Chicken George, isn't he? Because I've never backed down, I don't chicken out or nothing. So the nickname Chicken George got stuck. So, yeah, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I love that. Good to have a few monikers and keep it fun for sure, man. But it's been awesome getting to have you on, and you've given some incredible insights ahead of what was already a very, you know, exciting fight before talking to you. But the insights definitely getting me more excited, man. But I do want to be mindful of your time and everything, that being said, George. So is there any kind of like final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
Listen, we can sit here and talk as much as you want. All it is, as everyone knows, I've got the fight on the 16th, and obviously I've got my documentary coming out for ITV and Netflix, and I've got my autobiography coming out. So it's all rolling in into one. So hopefully in the next couple of years should be an exciting time for all involved.
Yeah, that's incredible. I feel like we should probably get a couple more insights on that before rolling out. You got a Netflix, you know, documentary rolling out. What's happening there?
Yeah, so I'm doing, obviously everyone knows what I signed with Barry and Eddie Earns. So in 2005, when I was 6 seconds off of breaking Mike Tyson's record, I signed a very, very wealthy contract with Barry and Eddie Earns. I can't go too much into it, but it was a millions and millions of pound contract, and I ended up losing everything. Which you'll see in my documentary what happened. You'll see it in my autobiography. You'll see everything unfold. And I ended up losing everything. So, from someone taking all the money from me, from the mother of my two eldest kids walking away, to failing medical tests, everything just went wrong all at once, and I lost millions and millions of pounds. So, and now it's not about the money; it's about claiming back something and proving to my kids that if you want something in life, you don't ever give up. And doesn't matter what people say or do, you just keep chasing your dream. As long as you're not hurting no one, just keep chasing that dream.
I mean, that's a great message, man, and you have a stellar story for sure, so I'm very excited to see that whenever it happens to come out, like you said, still being worked on. And I appreciate the fact that you don't want to give too many details away, and I don't want you to do that either. People got to check it out and see what's going on for sure, but the next chapter in your story going to be a compelling one too, on September 16th against Rolando D, and definitely stoked to check out BKB 34, man. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, George, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me on, sir. Thank you. Been an absolute pleasure.